Let us now turn unto the Lord's word, and we will turn unto Psalm 108, a psalm of David. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou, O exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who has cast us off, and wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And may the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
This psalm, Psalm 108, as we can see from the title, is a psalm penned by that chief psalmist of old, King David. And when I was preparing this word, I was caused to be drawn my attention to two other psalms, Psalm 57 and Psalm 60, both which make up this Psalm 108. Psalm 57, verses 7 to 11, are found to be correspond to the first five verses of Psalm 108. And we read there, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. And it continues down through to verse 11. And then also in Psalm 60, and we read in verses 5 to 12, how that David says, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. And that continues down to verses 11 and 12, where David finishes off saying, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. So as we can see, this Psalm 108 that is our attention for this morning's sermon is made up from these two psalms. Indeed, it may on its surface seem to be repetition, but as we all know, there is no vain repetition in the Lord's word. Indeed, the Lord has inspired David when writing this Psalm 108 to bring together those two psalms, 57 and 60, and combine them into this one psalm. And perhaps as we stop and consider this psalm, and perhaps as David was caused to write it, he can look back and consider those troubles that he had when he penned those two original psalms. The first one, Psalm 57, when he was fleeing from Saul to that cave at Adullam. And then Psalm 60, when again he was going out against the Edomites to one of his many battles. It is perhaps the case with David here as he pens this psalm. He offers up praise unto the Lord his God and beseeches him for help to come, drawing upon those past experiences and indeed trusting God for help to come. And indeed, this is so often our case. We're able to look back upon those past experiences, praise God for them, and then draw upon strength for the days ahead. However, this morning, with the Lord helping us, I'd like to focus on those first few opening words. O God, my heart is fixed. And in particular, my heart is fixed. So what then is David saying when he says, my heart is fixed? Perhaps if we read on in that psalm, we can get the sense of what it is. And we can quickly establish that David's heart is set upon praising and worshipping his Lord. And later on, goes on to beseech God for help for the days that lie ahead. And indeed, this word fixed has a certain permanence to it and resolve about it. For indeed, when we come to worship the Lord, we must do so with a resolve in our hearts and with hearts fixed upon worshipping him. And also the way in which we worship God must be fixed. It is not a way, we don't come to God and worship him in a way that we want to. Indeed, the way we worship God has been fixed in his word. But first, we perhaps must consider, why is David's heart set upon worshipping God? David must have a reason for worshipping God. And David, as we know, as we read his words and read his history throughout the Psalms and in those books of Kings and Chronicles and Samuel, we can see how he trusted the Lord his God. He had come to see that indeed his hope was in Christ to come. And from that he learned that he had this duty to worship God. Indeed, we know that it is our duty as believers of Christ to worship the Lord our God. It has been commanded in his word. And indeed, this is something that we are to do. And indeed, we are to praise the living God, three in one, and only him. We're not to praise other gods or other men, but only our Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, we see men and women who will love to praise others without the thought of praising God. They will heap praise upon others, yet give no thought unto their Maker. Indeed, this is a characteristic trait of the world and the worldly person. Indeed, they would give all sorts of excuses not to turn unto worship the Lord. They may say there is no God. They may acknowledge there may be a God. They may even say there is a God, but they do not know how to worship him. Yet we, as true believers of Christ, know that there is a God and that he is to be worshipped. And we know that he is to be worshipped using those gifts that he has given unto us, his people. We can't say that we cannot worship God, for indeed we must acknowledge that he has given each one of us gifts. Indeed, we can consider that he's given us tongues, that member which is so often unruly, yet can be used to give praise unto the Lord our God. Indeed, he has in his wisdom created us with that ability to praise. And indeed, as Paul, writing in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, exhorts believers to do, to be filled with his spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. And didn't David also have this gift of music and poetry, which we can read throughout the Psalms, he used for the praise of God? David, then, who acknowledges this fact that he must worship his God and praise him, then goes on to say, even with my glory. He has realized that these gifts that he has, he must use for the worship of God. And perhaps here there is contained a warning unto us that these abilities that God grants unto us, whether we have the gift of music or other abilities to praise God, that we should be careful how we use them, and that we should first of all seek to use them to God's glory. For David could have easily used his gift for music and poetry for others' enjoyment and entertainment, but he sought to use it for God's glory. And also, as we come down later on in this psalm, we can see how David is very much got the public aspect of worship and outward praise of God in focus. Particularly when we come down and read, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Indeed, this is the duty and one of the responsibilities of the church, and that is to publicly worship God. Indeed, it is a task that has been neglected by many churches. There are many places where the emphasis is either placed upon the building or other aspects. Indeed, the emphasis more placed upon the music rather than worshipping God. Yet, as a church, we have set times of public services. Indeed, a building set aside for worshipping God. And indeed, we see many churches that will have worldly events that will not worship God or bring the honour and glory due unto his name. It is as if they've not fixed their hearts upon worshipping God, rather upon keeping them worshipping their own hearts and the desires of the flesh. So having seen that it is our duty and a delight to praise our God, for indeed we must have in mind at all times that as well as being a duty to praise God, it is our duty and delight. It is not a loathsome burden upon us. But then what do we praise God for? And yet again, the answers to this can be found in this psalm to consider. But for you, we come down to verse 4. For thy mercy is great above the heavens. And then in verse 7, God hath spoken in his holiness. Indeed, these are just some of the reasons to be found for praising our God. And the first one is God's mercy here being likened to being above the heavens. Indeed, this mercy of our Lord is something that our feeble minds so often find hard to grasp and fully comprehend. Indeed, it is a mercy which knows no limit. And indeed, each day that comes into being is a testament unto God's mercy. Indeed, even this day, another Lord's Day, is testament to God's mercy and goodness throughout this past week. And this should be alone be reason enough to praise him. Indeed, this day that he has granted unto us is another day which we can serve him while upon this earth. Indeed, this is another day in which the sinner has opportunity to discover their sin and iniquity and to turn unto thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, as is indicated in this verse 7, God hath spoken in his holiness. We have the word of God in our hands. At the time when David was writing this Psalms, he had those first few chapters of the Bible. Yet, we have the complete work of God in our hands. We're able to read of it, and we're able to see how God has outworked his purposes throughout history, how he brought his Son into being. And indeed, we should praise God for that, that we have this word in our hands that we can freely read in our own tongue and without fear of persecutions. So, as we have now seen how we have this duty and it is and our reasons for worshipping God, let us now turn and see how in our hearts we're to fix our hearts upon worshipping God. And perhaps having now seen that we have this responsibility to praise and worship God, let us resolve in our hearts to praise and worship God. We can't say, oh well, I know I should worship God, and I'll do so when I feel like it. If this is our attitude, the devil would soon find a way into the heart, into our hearts. For indeed, he would soon make the things of this world become more important than worshipping God. So we must in our hearts give that right place unto God and for worshipping us. For we know that God has called us unto salvation and has given us that desire, given us a desire to worship him. Yet that old nature is always still present and wars against our new nature. And indeed, the devil will seek to do everything he can to keep us from delivering and giving unto God the true praise that is due unto his name. Indeed, in our day-to-day lives, we may be suffering trial and affliction. When we do so, Satan will rise up and say, surely you can't worship God now. Look at your situation. He will bring into our hearts excuses for us not to come up and worship God. He'll indeed say, look at this situation that God has caused. Yet, what was David's attitude when he was under affliction and persecution from Saul? We read of David fleeing Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave at Adullam. We find David hiding in a cave, fearing for his life. I wonder what our attitudes would be if we had to run from an enemy who was seeking our lives. Would our hearts be set upon praising God? Yet when we look and we consider David and we turn to Psalm 57, that counterpart to our psalm, and that psalm that was penned sometime around when he was fleeing from Saul. And we see in Psalm 57 there, him at the end setting his heart upon praising God. Indeed, David, despite his afflictions and trials, had this right attitude and kept and sought to worship God. And indeed, this should also be our attitude. No matter what trial or affliction we're passing through, let us always stop to consider and remember God's goodness and mercy unto us his people and worship him. And indeed, in this psalm, in the first three verses, we find two little words that indeed perhaps strike us with the resolve of David's heart. And the words are, "I will." It is used four times in those first three verses. And we find it in verse 1. "I will sing and give praises." And then again in verse 2. "I myself will awake early." And then again in verse 3. "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the nation, among the people. And I will sing praises unto thee among the nations." We can see David having this resolve in his heart. God has placed within him that desire to worship him. God has shown David that he should be worshipped. And then David resolves in his heart to worship God. And indeed, as we can perhaps think upon this, and we look around, and we see the world going on, growing more and more wicked, perhaps we should take heed to what is found in Hebrews chapter 10, 25. "Not forsaking the assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching." See, the worship of God is not only something that can be carried out in private, but so often is a public act too, as we assemble ourselves together here. And indeed, we should have set times for worshipping God to help us resolve to worship him. For indeed, if we do not set aside time, both private and in public, to worship him, these times will soon be lost sight of and easily forgotten in the day-to-day business of life. The Lord has given us indeed the Lord's Day as a time to praise and worship him, a day which we can take our minds up with those heavenly things and forget about the cares of this world. So let us indeed resolve with our hearts to seek after God and to praise him in this day and age. And then indeed, we come on, and the next point for our consideration is a heart prepared to worship God. Can we just come up to the house of God, off the street, and worship him? Or do we need to come up in the right frame of mind? In our day-to-day lives, in a worldly situation, we might be called to some important meeting or interview. Would we go to that meeting or interview unprepared for it? No, we wouldn't. Yet, when we come up to the house of the Lord, it's even more important that we're prepared in heart and mind, and we're in the right frame of mind to worship God. Do we still come up being taken up with those things of our lives, those concerns that plague our minds from day to day, those cares of our work situation, of our school or education or other things, of our family situations? Or do we come up with eyes looking unto the Lord our God, expecting him to come down to meet with us and to bless that time unto us? David, despite the difficulties round about him, says in verse 2, "I myself will awake early." David here seems to have the sense that despite the difficulties he's in, he must still prepare and arise and be awake to worship God. It is the worship and praise of God is something that demands the full attention and should employ our body, soul, and spirit. David didn't arise from arise half asleep and seek to praise God. Instead, he arose early, made sure he is awake, and then set his heart upon worshipping God. And indeed, from this we learn that before we worship God, we should ready ourselves in prayer before we come up to the house of the Lord of God. Do we stop and pray and ready ourselves to come up and to meet with him? For indeed, we must indeed prepare our hearts and then come up to the house of the Lord with glad hearts, looking for that blessing from above. Not to come up to the house of God, as if it were a burden upon our shoulders, but indeed as if it was an experience to receive that blessing from on high. So having resolved in our hearts and prepared ourselves for the worship and praising of God, we must come and worship him in an unchanged manner. Do we come and worship God in a way that takes our fancy at the time? No, we are to worship the Lord in the way that has been laid down in his word. And we can read, particularly in the New Testament epistles, of so many instructions given for worship, both practical and spiritual. And indeed, in this day and age when so many things seem to change from one week to the other, new ideas and whims come in for praising and worshipping God, we should fix the way we worship the Lord our God upon his word. Indeed, the worship of God isn't to be anything elaborate, as perhaps the Roman Catholic Church or the Church of England make at times, those false churches. It is not to be as modern charismatic churches do, that have music and dancing and other false practices. It is simple in design, yet brings the honour and glory due unto our Lord God. And this is what we should learn about fixing our hearts upon worshipping God. It is to be fixed in the way that it is done. True, God-centered worship and praise doesn't appeal to the flesh or the world. The natural man would much rather have something that appeals to his ears and to his flesh. And it is not something that these modern churches like to do. They'd rather have something that appeals to the world and brings in the masses. And indeed, they will say, look, God must have blessed this way of worshipping him. We have masses of people in our doors. Yet, does not it come up short to the standards of ordained by God? And if we go back to that passage in Ephesians and just consider the lead up to that verse where Paul says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but filled with the Spirit. And is not modern worship in some ways akin to the drunken singing of a drunkard whose words are indiscernible? Indeed, that bring no honour and glory unto God. Worship and praise of God should always be followed out in that manner which follows after God's pattern. Indeed, it should be after a manner that if someone was to come off the street this morning and into our midst, we'd know that we are indeed worshipping the God, the true and living God. The world should be left in no mistake that here, as a church, we seek to worship and praise the only true and living God. So therefore, let the way in which we worship God be fixed upon his word and not upon the own vain desires of our own minds and hearts. So then in this psalm, we have considered a few words that go with this word fixed and how we can fix our hearts upon worshipping God. We have seen that we worship God out of duty, a duty which is to be a delight and joy unto our hearts. As David also says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 29, where he says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We can see from this passage that indeed David had that right attitude to worshipping God. He saw that he had this duty and responsibility to come before God and to bring that offering which is due unto his name. And then we're to worship God with that resolve in our hearts. We should set aside that time to praise him, a time when we're able to set aside the secular things of our lives, those things that so often take our minds up, those desires of our, those things in our hearts that so often burden our minds. Let us cast them aside for a moment. And then with the psalmist say, "I will praise thee no matter what the situation is." Let us always resolve to be in the Lord's house when opportunity presents itself, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but rather seeking to be among his people, to worship God as a collective body of believers. And then let us be prepared in heart for worshipping God. Let us pray that when we come up to worship and praise God, that we do so expecting a blessing, with our minds attentive unto his word, and then also with hearts unchanged in how we worship God. Let us have the way and the manner of our worship and praise fixed upon God's word, in order that we bring honour and glory unto his name. And then if there's perhaps one reason alone which should drive us unto the praise of God, it should be perhaps this other meaning that we could perhaps bring into this "my heart is fixed" verse. And it should be that our hearts and our natural state were indeed hearts of stone. Hearts that would not want to be fixed upon worshipping God. Hearts that would indeed worship the things of this world. Yet our hearts have been turned from those hearts of stone into hearts of flesh through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And indeed, when this world's history comes to an end and Christ returns in judgment and calls his people unto himself, and in that heavenly Jerusalem, won't it be our eternal joy to praise God then, and our Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Indeed, then our hearts will be fixed upon praising him. We won't be beset with that sin that so easily doth beset us. We will be free from the trials of this current life. And then we'll begin to see and grasp the full extent of God's mercy, grace and goodness unto his people. So perhaps let us remember from this psalm, from the start of this psalm that we have a duty to worship God. We're to worship him with resolve, with hearts prepared, with hearts unchanged in manner, and also that it will be our final delight and joy and eternal delight to have our hearts fixed upon praising our Lord Jesus Christ forever in that eternal kingdom. And may we indeed, each one of us, long for that day when we shall indeed praise him forever. Amen. Amen.